So our theme for 2019 is kindness. Kindness. Our theme this year is what we can do. You know, we can focus so much, and it's right to focus. Like Carol led us this morning in communion. We need to focus on what he has done. What he has done through his body and his blood and the Holy Spirit and all the gifts and teachings. And we're blessed. We're blessed. But our theme this year is thinking more about, and what can we do? We who have received, and what can we do for our city? What can we do for our suburbs through kindness? What can we do for our family and our friends? What can we do for our neighbors and our neighborhoods, for people we know, people we don't know, through kindness? And so our focus and our theme this year is outward. It is an outward focus. And our foundational scripture is Micah 6:8. For he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So the theme and the decree for us this year at Imaginations Church, and not only here but in our locations, is kindness. And I love this passage of scripture that I read at the beginning of the year in Proverbs 21 and 21. It says this: whoever pursues kindness, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness, if you will pursue kindness, whoever will pursue kindness, righteousness and kindness, will find life, righteousness, and honor. We pursue kindness, but what we find is life. We pursue kindness, but what we find is righteousness and honor. But that's not what we were looking for, but that's what we're going to find as we pursue kindness. And so we talked at the beginning of the year about the ABCs of kindness, and just something to kind of help us, you know, bring it all into a very simple concept. We talked about A is thinking of like the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the early church. This is how the book of Acts is thought about. But for us this year, we're talking about the book of Acts of Kindness written in the history of Imaginations Church. Acts of Kindness. And it's not just the thoughts or the intents or the contemplations of kindness. Well, I'm meant to be. No. I'm talking about the deeds. I'm talking about the doings, the darings of kindness. On purpose, pursuing kindness. And kindness is displayed through acts of kindness. And then we are talking about A, B, C. And as you remember, the B is we're talking about praying a better prayer. And especially a better prayer for our city. And a better prayer for our suburbs and our neighborhoods. And instead of praying, Lord, give us our city, or even, Lord, give us our nation, we're praying a better prayer, and that is, Lord, give us to our city. Lord, give us to our nation. Not give us them, but give them us. Us. Now, this morning, most of the people who encourage me while I'm speaking are on holidays. And so it's up to you. It's up to you. Because if you encourage me, I go faster and I feel better about myself. Just saying. And I am with family, and I know you love me, and there's a warm connection here, and so it's okay to say, I'm there. You know, we pray a better prayer. Oh God, give Imaginations Church to our city. Oh, Father, give Imaginations Church to Orchard Hills and to the areas and to our schools and, Lord, to the family. Oh, Lord, give Imaginations Church. Give Westcare to our city. And I love this passage of Scripture that we read at the beginning of the year as well. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 from the Message Bible. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us, love like that. See, that's kind of the better prayer. Lord, help me to give of myself extravagantly to others instead of I'm asking you to give something to me. And so we're talking about the ABCs of kindness this year, the acts of kindness, the better prayer. And then the C is that we cite our missions statement as a church, but we cite or recite our mission statement for ourselves. In other words, instead of we exist to turn non-Christians into totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our vision statement. That's our vision statement. But I exist to turn a non-Christian into a totally committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many think that would honor God? If you and I laid hold of that together, how many believe the Lord would be pleased? How many believe the kingdom of God would advance? If I had this in my own mindset, as I would cite this vision statement for me, Lord, Carol and I exist to turn non-Christians into totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this isn't just our statement, but through acts of kindness and praying a better prayer, it becomes my mission's statement. So where can I focus my kindness? The pursuit. Where can I pursue kindness? And, of course, we've got our letters back up here today, and so you probably know where I'm going with this. And I'm going to kind of share some thoughts about where we could pursue kindness. Where could I focus kindness? So today I'm going to use these letters to just give us a few suggestions. So where could I show kindness? Well, obviously, Kmart. Now, that's not in my notes. That was just, but we probably could, couldn't we? You know, IKEA. No, we won't. Okay, sorry. I mean, good, yes, good. But that's not really what I want to talk about today. I want to suggest that we could possibly look for a way to show kindness to kids, to children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. The Bible has so much to say about children, the wonder and the beauty and the innocence of kids. Although many times my grandkids are not all that innocent, but they are beautiful. And we read in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, very powerful day in the life of Jesus and his ministry. Children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray, little boys and girls. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Children, how could we focus kindness on children? One day, many, many years ago, an older couple knocked on the door of my mother's house. My mother had six children by the time she was 24. And so here's this young woman with a herd of kids. And this older couple knocked on the door and said, "Could we take your children to Sunday school?" And my mom let me and she let the older four go and put me in charge to look out for them. And so I was 10 years old, and we went to this with this older couple. We got in their car, and we went down the street to the little Baptist church that was down there, and we went to Sunday school. And it was there that day at Sunday school that I met Jesus. I heard the gospel for the first time, and I gave my life to Jesus. And in one moment, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to become my Lord and my Savior. And I can attest, and I will always testify, to the kindness of that older couple that came and knocked on the door because they wanted to show kindness to some kids. And I was one of those kids. See, kindness is something we pursue. And I believe kindness should have a focus. And today I'm just suggesting some of the different areas of life where we live, where maybe we could consider, how could I be kind to some kids? I think right now, this morning, of 100 children in Sierra Leone that we as a church are kind to every day, 100 boys and girls go to school every day on our dime. They go to school every day as we as a missions church have paid for this year all their education, their uniforms, all of their supplies, and I believe there's a kindness in that. I think about the 35 or 33,000 children, Mitch is telling us. Mitch said this last week. 33,000 children in Vietnam that we are funding a health care screening for them, a heart screening, and we're doing health checkups for 33,000 boys and girls in Vietnam and for the issues of their heart. And I just think, Lord, I love that. And I thank you, and I pray that we as a church, that our missions and our missions focus would always have something to do with loving and caring and being kind to boys and girls. But I just encourage you today, what thought could God give you in some way? Maybe it's out of the box, and that's wonderful. What could you do to show kindness to kids? Now, I owe a lot of these thoughts today to Neil and Neralee, who 6 months ago sent me a little text on an idea of kindness. And in their idea, they had something like this that I'm adapting today, but I remember what they said about the eye. They said, what about the incarcerated? What about the prisoner? What about the person who is in jail or incarcerated? You know, Jesus is just, you can't figure him out. You can only be amazed. You can only stand in awe of him. But in Matthew 25 and verse 34, he talks about how it's going to be at the end of the world. And here's what Jesus said at the end of the world. He said, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was incarcerated. I was in prison. I was in prison, and you came to me. I'm not here to judge why someone's in prison. I'm here to suggest, is there a way that we could show kindness to someone who is in prison? And I remember years ago, and I've told this story many times because it's marked my life. I've never forgotten the joy and the privilege that Carol and I had many years ago of going to the Lamu prison in Kenya. Don Matheny had told me he felt it was Lamu was the darkest place on earth that he had ever been to in his life. And as somebody who's been a missionary in Africa for over 50 years, I thought, well, that's saying something. And I can remember when we as a church decided to show kindness to the prisoners at Lamu prison. And we built toilets. We built toilets. Before we came, we'd had construction people go in, built the first flush toilet ever in that prison. Even the guards had no toilets. We built toilets for the guards, outside toilet, inside toilet, because the men would sleep on a concrete slab, 10, 12, in a little room, and the only toilets they had were their own personal buckets. And those buckets would fill up through the night in that prison, and you don't even want to think about what that was like. And so that was the first thing we did, is we built toilets for those prisoners. And then we came in and we killed some, we didn't kill them, but we paid for some fresh meat, some goats became a feast that day for the prisoners. And we gathered all the prisoners around and we talked to them about Jesus and his love and how that Jesus had come to set us free in our soul. I can see it as I speak to you. It's all in front of me right now. I still see the angles. I still see the colors and the locations and where people were. And after we preached, we gave every one of them a nice foam mattress to sleep on instead of the concrete floor. And we gave every one of them a new pair of shoes, a new pair of sandals. And we gave every one of them a bag with, you know, everything in there from toothpaste and lollies and a Joyce Meyer book. We just loved on them. They all lined up. I can remember them lining up, walking through, taking all of these things. And we were allowed to show kindness to maybe the darkest prison, at least in the nation of Kenya, and maybe even in Africa. And I know right here in Emu Plains, our church is serving the women in that prison. How could you show or pursue kindness to someone who is incarcerated? Do you know someone that's incarcerated? And if not, is there something you could do for people you don't know? Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, I, Paul, a prisoner. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. In Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1, he says this, Paul, a prisoner. Jesus identified himself as a prisoner, saying, I was in prison and you came to me. And so in our pursuit of kindness, we could think about kids. Maybe we could even think about the incarcerated. What act of kindness could we do for somebody there? And what about our neighbors? I mean, how much does the Bible have to say about you and your relationship with your neighbors? Me and my relationship with my neighbors. The Bible teaches us a lot. And basically, here's what the Bible says. Love your neighbors. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says we should love our neighbors as ourselves. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, the Bible says love does no wrong to a neighbor. Now, I don't know who your neighbors are. I only know who my neighbors are. I love my neighbors. I hate their dogs. We've got the day shift and we've got the night shift. But we have earplugs that I sleep with every night. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 2, it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. There's a pursuit. There's an on purpose. This is like not accidental. This is not like incidental. This is like, you know, like go for it kind of stuff here. How could we pursue kindness toward our neighbors that the Bible specifically leads and guides us into reaching out to them? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. His neighbor. Kindness. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Family, kindness is a pursuit. Are you pursuing kindness for your neighbor? Actually, the title of my message, you know, is showing kindness to ... because, and I'm just trying to give us some thoughts, and maybe we'll do this message again with some other thoughts behind here as well. And so, how about showing kindness to someone who's just down and out? Or maybe just showing kindness to someone who right now is just doing it tough. Just doing it tough. Have you been there? Have you been there in your life? Has there been a time and a season in your life when you've been doing it tough and maybe we're a little bit down and out? Here's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word, in talk, but in deed and in truth. Don't talk the talk, do the deed, walk the walk. How can we show kindness when we come across someone, or we know of someone, or we know of a family, or we spot a circumstance or a situation? Is there a pursuit in our heart that could possibly find room to show kindness to someone doing it tough? Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor, whoever is kind to someone down and out, whoever is generous to the poor, look how God inserts himself here. Lends to the Lord. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, for he will repay him for his deed. The Lord doesn't identify himself with the one being generous. The Lord identifies himself with the one in need. And yet, he says, but if you'll take care of the one in need, that debt's on me. I got that. Look, I'll cover this for you. Thanks for doing this. I got you. I got you. I'll get back at you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For with such sacrifices, they're pleasing to God. Just share what you have. You don't have to be rich to do that. You just have to be kind. You know, John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3 and verse 10, he was out there baptizing, caused quite a stir. People would come all the way from Jerusalem out there to where he was. We were not too long ago in the very place where John was baptizing. Pretty good day or two walk from Jerusalem. And he's out there baptizing, and the people started coming. His message was repent, repent, repent. And when the crowds came to John to be baptized. And then they asked him, because he's preaching repentance. And they asked him, What should we do? What should we do? And now I'm reading from Luke 3:10. The crowds asked John the Baptist, what then shall we do? Now listen to John. Listen to what he says. What shall we do? And he answers them, well, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Wow. John, you're preaching repentance. What should we do? Well, look, if you've got two coats, give one to the guy who doesn't have one. And look, if you've got food, share it. I'm talking today about kids, the incarcerated, neighbors, down and out, doing it tough. You're going to love this one. How about nasty people? Nasty. Nasty people. You know, man, wouldn't you rather be kind to the down and out? I'd rather be kind to anybody. But what about, is there precedent in Scripture about you and I? And I'm getting a little convicted while I'm talking, so I'm going to preach more about you. Shouldn't you be kind to nasty people? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 and then in verse 23, it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who, when he was reviled, see, that's what nasty people do, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He's our example. We've been called to follow in his steps. 1 Corinthians 4:12, we work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We appeal gently when evil things are spoken. And we're patient with those who abuse us, and we appeal gently when evil things are said about us. This is hard. To be kind when people are unkind. And yet, this is what Jesus has taught us to do. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you." Nasty people, they don't get off the hook that easy. They still deserve my kindness. How about ethnicities? How about people from other nations? How about people that are not like me? How about people from another culture or another color or another race? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, we read, "And he has made from one blood, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on." One blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings. Come on, family. It is not our skin that makes us one. It is our blood that makes us one. One blood. Could we pursue kindness for a brother from another mother? Could we pursue kindness for a sister from another mister? You know where I live in Glenmore Park? I walk a lot. A lot. As a matter of fact, last week, just through Glenmore Park, I walked 130 kilometers in 6 days. I walk, man. I get out there and walk. And somehow in Glenmore Park, almost every neighbor person I pass is from another ethnic world group from me. And it's just amazing. But all of the people that I pass are from the East, or they're from Asia, or they're from India, or they're from other nations. And it's just this most wonderful thing. While I'm walking, as I walk past, I love looking right in the eye and saying, "Good morning." And I say it from my heart. I say, "Good morning." And I wait for it, because I get this huge reward. The sun, you've never seen smiles as glorious and as wonderful and as beautiful as people smile, look back at me, and say, "Good morning." And it's like, whoa! And Monday, I'm walking, doing it for the 1,000th time. Somebody's walking past me, and I say, "Good morning." And they said, "Good morning, Pastor." Can we pursue kindness to people who are not like us? Beautiful people, wonderful people, loving people. How can we show kindness to people of other ethnic groups? How about the sick? Jesus said, "I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Can we pursue kindness to the infirm, to the unwell, to the weak, to the frail, to the feeble? How about a visit? How about a meal, a ride? Could we extend ourselves to and for someone who's not well? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" The word "weak" here in the Greek, astheneo, literally means feeble, diseased, or sick. And this is where the context is, where Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. As we remember the weak, the sick, or the diseased, we must help them. Remembering the words of Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And finally, and I have to kind of rush through these last two, but my last thought here is, how about strangers? How about kindness to strangers? Jesus said, "I was hungry, you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in." Kindness to strangers. Now, here's what I want to say about that. Hebrews 13:2. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. ESV says, or a New Living Translation says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels and never even realized it. The Message says, be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. Why, some have extended hospitality to angels without ever even knowing it. Dude. What? I don't have a category for that. Are you kidding me? And yet, Jesus said, when we do this to the least of these, we're doing it to him. And so I guess, you know, you're not just trying to be kind to people, but in reality, you're being kind to Jesus. And sometimes without even knowing it, you're being kind to angels. I'm not making this up. This isn't fairy floss New Age. This is the honest to God truth from the living word of God. And so, family, I'm out of time, but through acts of kindness, we're not just interacting with earth, we're also interacting with heaven. And again, Proverbs 21:21, whoever goes hunting for what is right and kind finds life, glorious life. Would you stand with me?